Good morning, Metroplex. Thanks for being a total. That's the answer. Turn it on, leave it on. We have a State Fair ticket giveaway to hook you up for this weekend or next week coming up during the 720 Expressway. We'll also do the College Football Kegger Neighborhood Watch and a Steelers Insider at 8 o'clock. In case you are just turning on the radio, more bad news for the Cowboys. They will be without Brandon Cooks for at least this week against the Pittsburgh Steelers and potentially longer after an infection developed in his right knee following a procedure he had after the Giants game. So if you're wondering what's wrong with Brandon Cooks, where is the explosiveness? Why are they not getting him involved like last year early on? This could be a major reason why. So Brandon Cooks is going to be out. He's not going to be replaced by Davante Adams. According to Nick Harris and Jordan Schultz, do not expect them to be a player for Davante. They're comfortable with their receivers. They value the draft capital too much. So now we have the Kansas City Chiefs, the Steelers, the New York Jets on the Davante radar.
On jumping back to Cooks really quick, is this odd to you? Todd Archer's report about this yesterday, after an infection developed in his right knee following a procedure he had after remaining in New York following the Giants. So he didn't come back on the charter. He stayed back. So that doesn't sound like this was something done by the team. It sounds like this was a separate procedure that he had done.
Like, does he have his own guy that he went to?
That's at least how that sounds from that, which is a little odd to me.
You guys are not disappointed. I know no one's surprised. They're not trying to go get anyone. You guys are not disappointed that they're not getting Davante or trying for it.
Nope.
They did check in, though, apparently.
Disappointed? No. I guess my question is, I want the truth as to why they're not going. If they're not going to get him because they feel the wide receiver room is fine, I got a problem with that. Yeah. The wide receiver room's not fine.
Right.
He could absolutely improve it. But is he worth it financially and compensation-wise from a pick standpoint? Like, to have now for next year $70 million for your top two wide receivers, that's a lot. That's excess.
Would you rather have your second round pick with the cheap contract that comes with that versus Davante Adams that gets you where? That gets you where on this team, not becoming a championship contender?
Yeah, I don't think it's worth it because of that. If I'm a different team, I'd probably make the deal. Like, I think in a vacuum, he's worth the capital. I just don't think for this team, he's worth the investment. They got way too many problems, and they financially, the way they seem to be positioned is that they can't financially afford him, which that's fine if that's the excuse. If that's the excuse, you say, hey, this is just the reality of it, that's okay. The question at that point becomes to me, what did you do? Did you get to this financial point out of necessity or out of negligence? Was there something that was mismanaged to where you've gotten to the point where you say you can't afford Derrick Henry and you can't afford this Davante Adams deal and you can't afford this and that? Is that an issue of...
Well, who else is going to have the contracts of Dak, Lamb, and Micah on their payrolls?
I mean, obviously, yeah, Micah, they're planning for. Yeah. That's not done yet. But I'd mean...
60, 35, and 35. Who else has
Kansas
that?
City. Because in terms of they're going to have like Mahomes, Kelsey, Chris Jones. They're going to have massive deals right there where those guys are going to be all near the highest paid players in the NFL.
What's Kelsey make a year?
I don't know what he's up to now. I'm just saying, in general, they've had three of the higher deals in the NFL before at their positions.
Yeah, but if you add those up, you're not going to come close to what Dallas is going to pay for their top three.
2 for $35 is what Kelsey...
Yeah, and Mahomes took a little bit more of a team-friendly deal. He's going to reset. And then Chris Jones, I can't remember what he got, but... It was a couple years ago, too.
Chris Jones may be lower now.
So no one...
Let me look here.
No one is going to have...
$158 101 guaranteed.
All right. Well, that starts with a three.
Oh, yeah. It starts with a three. 31 and a half, 32. Yeah.
But still, if you look at the big three, who else in the NFL? We do have to keep pointing that out.
Yeah, because look, I mean, they're going to... So, again, 60 for Dak. What's Micah, 34? CD's 34. Micah's going to get...
35. Call it 35 and 35.
And let's just say you had Davante in there as well. That's... It's $164 million on four players. The cap is $250. So now you're going to have 49 guys making $90 million total.
So the other team that would be similar to this would be and it's dependent. They're still trying to figure out what they're going to do with their quarterback. I guess it's San Francisco because Bosa, they just paid Ayuk. They've got
McCaffrey.
Got Trent Williams, McCaffrey.
Yeah. McCaffrey's only making, what, 16? That's not 35.
But relative to, if you're talking about what you budget position, for a position, yes, they're way above most of the league.
There's no doubt, and that's a problem. Like, that is something that is very difficult to overcome, and we've seen this stat. Now, this stat has kind of been, I don't want to say rendered obsolete because the cap goes up at such an exponential amount each year, but if you have 10 players making more than half your cap, or around making 50% of your cap or more, I mean, your average record is 5-11. This was before the 17-game schedule. Well, the Cowboys would have four players making half their cap, let alone 10. You could win in a year where you have absolutely no injuries.
I want to get this out of the way. I know we've always laughed at this so far in the season, but he was trending again the other day. Does Trey Lance, with the disaster in Miami, make any type of sense for Mike McDaniel? Or no, with Tua possibly coming back? Or you just wait for Tyler Huntley to get ready?
You know, he was, given what we know about Trey Lance, I would think that Mike McDaniel would have a pretty good grasp on who he is and recognize that's probably not the answer. When he had given, I'd looked up quotes of his a couple of weeks back, and he was talking about Trey Lance and while he was in San Francisco, and had mentioned that, like, it always sounded like he was trying to cushion blows. Like, he would say, one of his quotes was, he said, look, he's a rookie, you have to get into a rhythm, sometimes you come out, you know, you're working through stuff and you're doing different things. And then when he got asked about it by Rich Eisen, like, hey, what do you think of Trey Lance, he's like, you know, he was always competitive, I always liked his competitiveness. And so, but do you, yeah, if you say, man, we can't win right now with Tyler Huntley or Skylar Thompson or whoever, do you say Trey Lance, or do you say I'd rather go look at, you know, Cooper Rush? Did Tannehill ever get signed in Green Bay, or is he still out there? Would they look at it and say Tannehill is more for that? I would think, given the accuracy stuff and some of the arm strength questions around Tua, if you were going to trade for a Cowboys quarterback, I would think Rush would be more in line with the type of player you're looking to replace.
And can Lance run the system mentally?
That we don't know. I just know that he doesn't have the accuracy to hit the stuff that McDaniel wants to do.
Meanwhile, yesterday, Jair Force One ticking off some more Cowboy fans.
Man, this was, he landed his helicopter on the middle of the practice field, in the middle of a practice, in the middle of a 2-2 season. And it got some people doing the whole,
your bar stools.
This is why every year it happens. The circus. Jerry doesn't care. The Cowboys are 2-2. He stops practice so he can land his helicopter in the middle of the field.
There is one person I thought of during this story. One. That's it. Belichick.
Oh, yeah.
Turn on your mic, Bobby.
Sorry, I was my headphones got wrapped around my ankle, and so I just shut it off.
I've never heard of that happening. Hang on a second. Your headphones.
That's the only thing he's ever had down there.
And by the way, a little sidebar on that one. You people in the gym, I don't need you to take your headphones and then put them around your waist.
What?
They put them around their waist. These girls, they put their headphones around their waist.
Are they wearing like radio headphones?
Yeah, they put them on here. And then when they're doing something, either they're going to do a movement or they're just walking around, they're talking to somebody, they just strap them around their waist. It's like,
why does that bother you?
Because, first of all, I'm bothered by people who wear the giant headphones in the gym.
Yeah.
Wear your earbuds. Right? You don't need these giant headphones in the gym. You're not Dr. Dre, okay? You're not sitting here producing you're producing a record album. You could get by with some AirPods.
All right, so all I was thinking of, Belichick running practice, and here comes Jair Force One dropping down. The absolute disgust. He might walk off and quit right there.
He really might have.
Look, I mean, that would have been last year. There was never a need to do it. But if McCarthy had been put in the same position that Garrett was at the end of 2019, where it's like, hey, pitch us on why you should keep your job, you know, and Garrett came forward with the plan. If McCarthy had been asked to do that, when you talk to people, it sounds like one of his thoughts would have been, hey, you're not going to bring somebody, like, if you're thinking about bringing a Belichick or somebody in here, they're not going to be able to handle things that I've become accustomed to. Like, just, you may think you're going to be able to. The reality is they're not going to be able to.
Meanwhile, RJ says, do not hire Bill Belichick if you're the Dallas Cowboys or any other team because of the greatness he's producing on television. He was on McAfee, and he was asked about the Tom Brady, Baker Mayfield stuff with Baker saying, yeah, they brought me in to have fun after Tom made everyone tense while winning that Super Bowl around here. This is Belichick's reaction.
Look, Tom could have fun, and he could, you know, pull pranks and make fun of people and be made fun of and all that, but when it was time for business, he was all business. Whether that was in the meeting room, we'll walk through on the field. There was nothing more important to him than everything being done right, not just his job, but the players around him, the proper timing, the proper alignments and so forth. And anybody that played with Tom, I think, would, you know, support that. Julian, Rob, Troy Brown, I mean, you name it. So, and that's kind of the way I was. And, you know, people said, well, we didn't have fun. I mean, let me tell you some. Winning 6 Super Bowl championships was fun. Going to 9 Super Bowls was fun. Winning those AFC championship games, that was fun.
Yeah.
The fun was really the winning. And I certainly understand where Tom's coming from. Honestly, I think there's a lot more stress when you're not winning. Winning's hard. It's very hard in the National Football League. And I think you got to put a lot into it. And it's a very fine line between winning and not winning.
Yeah. That wasn't some, like, shot they took. It wasn't some – this was just – this guy is a gem on TV. He spoke in grunts. He spoke in – now he speaks in actual words. He would use 2- and 3-word clips before. That's a full sentence. And that's several full sentences.
And that is why I think there's a little overreaction to Belichick, to media Belichick, including from you and others. We're so happy. It's like when your grouchy-ass dad comes home and he gives you 3 words. Open up the beer, and I'll give you 3 words while in my recliner. And then one day he comes home, and he gives you 3 sentences. And you're like, oh, my God, I love you, Dad. Thank you so much. Because he's talking in some sentences, I think the genius or greatness, because I've been watching his podcast on the side as well, like a nerd. I think Belichick in the media has been a little bit overhyped. His little snipes have been funny and good at Atlanta and the Jets and some of the other teams. But I think the number one thing he's done so far that people raved about was breaking down the run game, the Kyle Shanahan offense.
Yeah, yeah.
It was good.
Yeah.
I don't think it was like, it wasn't like mind-blowing TV. It was funny because it was like a classroom. Like, all right, Chris Long, yeah. What does that mean? Ocho, what did I just say? Ryan Clark. You know, I don't think he's been amazing.
I can't remember which game it was. It was a Monday night game on the Manning cast, and he was like, and Peyton was like, no, they're going to throw it here. And he goes, no, that's a trap. It's a trap. They're going to trap you. And then he threw a pick. I think it was the Hurts game. It was an Eagles game. And that's a trap. They're going to throw a trap. And they're going to trick you there. And he did. That was really good. That was really, really awesome. But yeah, I get what you're saying. It's like, it's something we've never seen from him before.
Hot seat alert. Doug Peterson was asked. Jordan Schultz reported Peterson has lost the Jags locker room. Is it true, coach?
Yeah, I would know. I talk to these guys every day. I see them every day. And no, I have not lost the locker room. I think these guys have done everything I've asked. They continue to play and practice hard and battle. It's a good group. It's a good group. The right leaders in there. And that they know. They know what we need to do. And, you know, they're not making excuses for it. And I'm not going to make excuses. And we just got to go do it.
Yeah, that sounds...
He seems like a good dude.
He does, but like that also is a shift from the other day where it's like, it's a two-way street, guys. Like, I can't go out there and make plays to like, you know, they've done everything I've asked them to do. You know, it's great. And of course, you're not going to say you lost the locker room. One of my big fears would be if they moved on from McCarthy here in Dallas, I would be concerned that this might be somebody on a short list for them.
Why?
Because of what they'd be looking for, which is experience. Oh, Super Bowl pedigree. He's got it. And we want somebody to overlook and take care of our giant investments on the offensive side of the ball.
Have you heard they liked him?
No, that's just one that I would be concerned they'd be tied to.
A State Fair ticket giveaway. Do the Longhorns have their quarterback back? And Choppy says TCU and SMU are about to beg to get in to the big boy club, SEC. College football kegger, and we hook you up with State Fair tickets along with the Neighborhood Watch next.
After we get you over to QC Kinetics, get you healthy and keep you healthy, boys and girls. You've been dealing with that joint pain. Doesn't matter if it's the knees, hips, back, shoulders, elbows, ankles, wherever it may be. tens of thousands of your neighbors have gotten real, lasting pain relief. Those joints revitalized thanks to QC Kinetics and the cellular regenerative treatments that they've got. And it doesn't matter if that pain comes from injury or arthritis. People are seeing remarkable results, myself included, in those joints. Emmett Smith raves about QC Kinetics, forefront of the most exciting medical advances in decades. Those healing properties, they take it from your own body, concentrate them into the areas where you're in pain, right to the source. I don't know why you're putting this off. You don't need surgery. You don't need drugs. You don't need steroids. You don't need downtime. What you need is a free consultation from QC Kinetics, 972-972-8610. Free consultation, 972-972-8610. Dallas, Richardson, Plano, Grapevine, and Fort Worth. QC Kinetics, 972-972-8610.
I'd like to know where Lou Holtz is right now.
Oh, I win. Google me.
We're not hosting an intergalactic kegger down here.
TCU and SMU are about to beg to get into the SEC.
Bobby, did you read that billionaire article on SMU that came out from
the one
ESPN?
From a couple weeks ago? Yeah, where they were talking about all the they basically were just laying out all the money that they've invested and how the type of cash that they basically came to the ACC with and said that, hey, look, we don't even need revenue sharing. We don't need to do anything else. How it kind of struck fear in the eyes of a lot of people of just like, oh, crap. Like, if they can kind of develop themselves here in the ACC with all this money they clearly have where they don't even need revenue share, this could be problematic.
Title of the article is pretty cool. OS, here come all the billionaires. How SMU came back from the dead. And then they went out and immediately lost. So I was like, all right, let's save this article.
What did you call him? The sleeping giant last year?
Yes, sir. Thank you for remembering that one. Because I'd forgotten about it. No, in my brain. But yeah, I mean, they've got so much money. They're in a recruiting hot spot. They don't have to leave. They don't have to get on an airplane. They don't have to get on an airplane to recruit. None of those Texas, none of those TCU, A&M.
None of it is private. Oh, wow.
Yes, absolutely. But the Big Ten and the SEC are in talks about a scheduling partnership. The meetings will take place next week. Sources tell ESPN. And what this is going to do is they're trying to create a Big Ten SEC group, advisory group, to continue this for a future scheduling partnership and raising the amount of minimum teams that must be in the college football playoff from both conferences. They want 4 automatic bids each of the 12 between the SEC and the Big Ten. So that would be 8 of the 12. One of them is already going to be the group of 5. 8 of them would be Big Ten, SEC. That leaves 3. One for the ACC, one for the Big 12, and one at large, whoever gets it, right? It could be an SEC and a Big Ten team. Doesn't have to be ACC or Big 12. So it really puts the rest of the conferences and the rest of the teams in a very tough spot. So if you're a team like TCU or SMU or Texas Tech or Oklahoma State, Baylor, it is of the utmost importance that you find a way to get into the SEC or the Big Ten. And, you know, like, are there certain schools that would fit more in the SEC or the Big Ten? Yeah, I mean, you know, I think Baylor would fit in the SEC. SMU would fit. You know, they got that Southern money. TCU the same way. Oak State would fit in the SEC from, like, a culture standpoint. But you could also see TCU and SMU say, no, we're too good. We're too highbrow. You know, we're not, like, Southern rich. We're rich, and we're going to go to the Big Ten, and we're going to go because we're too good academically. We're going to thumb our nose at the SEC. So we could say something like that, but I think it's going to force their hands, and we're going to go to a two-team conference event, two-conference league eventually, Bobby.
Yeah, looking at the I was trying to sort through and see where exactly TCU and SMU were at in recruiting rankings this last year, and I remember SMU didn't have like a great recruiting class this year, and they were ranked 107 in the country, their recruiting class. TCU is ranked 34. For next year, TCU is ranked 20th in the country. SMU's 24. And so,
wow.
I mean, the I would assume some of that with SMU be having that jump that they have so far, and there's still a lot left to play out in the 2025 class, but I would assume a lot of that is related to some of the stuff they've seen where they're going to the ACC and this money's there and this discussion's there, and so they're able to reap those benefits. It might reach a point where they have a case.
Have you felt more excitement and belonging in the Cool Kids Club so far with SEC year one?
No. No, I feel like we win
it's
our
fun.
We win the first SEC game. We're the number one team in the country, and they immediately go like, "Let's go to old Southern money. Let's go to Alabama. let's give it to those boys."
Terry Bradshaw over here.
Yeah, right. I'll tell you, I think it's been a hit. I'm having so much fun. Well, I mean, you have big games every week. You're having, I mean, Texas and Oklahoma being a part of the SEC is fun. USC going to Michigan. You don't see that all the time. Ohio State, Oregon in, 2 weeks? It's fun, man. I hate it for... I still, to this day, feel so bad for Oregon State and Washington State. I mean, those have been competitive programs for a while, and they're begging UNLV to come into their conference to try to save them. I feel really bad for them, and I don't know what the end game is for them. Speaking of Texas, Quinn Ewers is expected back.
Hell yeah.
The Oklahoma game. Get your bets in, kids. Get your bets in. 25-1 is what I was able to see him at 2 days ago. 25-1 to win the Heisman Trophy. You have arguably the best quarterback in the country. Arguably. On arguably the best team. They're going to have a mega game against Oklahoma in a couple of weeks. They're going to have maybe the biggest game of the year in 3 weeks. On October 19th against Georgia. It's going to be nationally televised. It's going to have 5 million people watching it. You're going to have the SEC championship game. And if they win them all and he plays well, he's going to get a boost. So it's just worth the 25-1. If this is 5-1, I wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
At 25-1, you really would be financial irresponsibility would kick in.
So his touchdown to interception ratio is good. He has not thrown for over 260 yards yet on the season. That's not Heisman-esque. The two questions I have, has he missed too much time already? And how many wins will Colorado have to get for Travis Hunter to be a locked-in vote over Ewers? And that's not even taking into account the other quarterbacks. But how many wins would Colorado have to get for Travis Hunter to lock this thing in if he keeps playing like he does, which he's going to?
I don't, man, Travis Hunter to win it, yeah, because right now this isn't Felix Hernandez winning the Cy Young with a 500 record. Like a lot of minds had to change over a long course of time before they said they were willing to do something like that, to hand that award away to a guy who, man, he's really good, but he's 500 because his team is awful. I don't think we're there with the Heisman.
Yeah, but that's not the same as Felix Hernandez. This is Shohei Ohtani. That's what this is.
Well, in general, I just don't think that college football has come around to the idea of handing an award out to somebody who's on a team that's not one of the top.
Yeah, but they haven't had to make that decision off a two-way player.
Right.
They haven't had to. This is a totally different discussion.
They did it with Tebow. He won with like a 7-5 record. I think it was Paul Hornung won with a losing record. You just don't see it, though, right? You're usually a great player on a great team, but you're also a quarterback. But this is a different thing because he is a two-way player, a true two-way player. And he got hurt last year, and... You know, that's one of the reasons why he wasn't in the running last year, because he did get hurt. But he's phenomenal. I think if they win nine games and he continues to do what he's done,
yeah,
it's very hard for him not to win this thing. And you could have gotten him at like 30-1 a couple of weeks ago.
So it's a lot to overcome. Milroe's getting a lot of hype right now, and that's starting to grow. If Ewers comes back and they start beating Georgia and Oklahoma, and he's making big performances, that'll be Cam Ward is the guy that I still think is going to end up winning this award by the time we get to the end of the year.
Mm.
Cam Ward's numbers at Miami this year have been absurd. Like, you look at his last few games, 343 yards, 4 touchdowns, 404, 3 touchdowns, 346, 5 touchdowns, and then they're the 8th ranked team in the country.
Yeah, if Alabama goes undefeated, Miami, Ashton Jeanty's the one guy at Boise State. I mean, he's got like 48 touchdowns, he's a running back. He's got like 48 touchdowns already.
I now know the name Jackson Dart because of his ex-girlfriend and what happened with them, but Jackson Dart is putting up numbers.
Yeah, Ole Miss having the loss is going to be – that dings Dart a little bit. But, I mean, overall, he's been really good.
Are there any Longhorn fans that you have seen on the fan text or social media that want Arch to stay? They don't want Quinn to come back. Have you gotten any of that?
I haven't seen much of that. I know he's not a Longhorn, but I know Wolchuk yesterday was saying that he would leave Arch in there, that he thinks that Arch is a better player. But he's like, ah, they can't. They got to bring Ewers back. I get it, but he thinks Arch is a better player. I don't think you've seen that Arch is better right now. Like, no. I think Ewers is pretty clearly better.
Wolchuk.
But yeah. Arch is...
Make a top 10 list of your bad takes, Zach. He texted me yesterday, though, when I said the brain power, he had heard that. So I got to be careful. He's listening.
Arch is somebody...
Wolchuk wakes up now before 10 with a baby.
I'll say this. Arch has played better than I was expecting him to. Like I was concerned about some of the pocket awareness and some of the accuracy and decision-making early on, but he's been better. It's just he's still not Quinn at this point.
It is your college football kegger here on 105.3 The Fan. Also 105.3 The Fan this weekend. It'll be Missouri and Texas A&M on Saturday, 10:30 pregame, 11 o'clock kick.
You're ticked off at Missouri.
I am ticked off at Missouri. I think this is soft, S-A-W-T. Eli Drinkwitz is the head coach.
S-A-W-T.
Soft.
That's sought.
S-A-W. Oh, F. S-A-W-F-T. Yeah. Well, listen.
Here's the excuse.
I tried Peyton's stomach cure to this morning. Right? I had some mezcal, but it's at 5 a.m. So Marcel Reed is
Saudi. Saudi.
Marcel Reed is the quarterback for A&M when Connor Wegman is hurt. Can't play. And Marcel's been decent. Well, Connor's a game time decision. Marcel's sister is the assistant director of recruiting from Missouri. All right. Their head coach has banned her from practice this week, because he thinks she will leak secrets to A&M and her brother. And
that's not salt. That's smart.
That's smart.
Yep. I support it.
Look, the Cowboys pulled Chris Vaughn out of the room whenever they were debating Deuce Vaughn in draft discussions.
Well, like, that was out of respect, so they didn't say.
It's not
your son's 5'2".
I'm just
and
saying
he's not very good.
I'm just saying in general.
That was why they did that.
Any sort of potential conflicts with game plan or anything else, like consistently, they'll pull somebody out of there.
Come on, like if it was my sibling on the other side, I might tell my sibling what they're doing. And she's not just like some ticket taker.
No.
They're giving her a title.
That's a big job.
Important football position.
If they're going to do this, then just don't have anybody that isn't a coach at practice. Like, anybody could be a spy. Anybody could do this. It gets paranoia for one. But also, like, have some, like, professional respect for your people that you work for you and say, hey, look, can we trust you here? And then trust your employees.
Oh, you know how she could really prove her trust, though? She could say, I'm gonna tell him, like, give him a fake game plan.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell him, look, we're going to blitz the hell out of you, and then we're dropping back and playing off coverage, and then he's going to be frazzled and not know what to do.
Like, I know the plan for my godson this week against Bama.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
You've been told?
Yeah.
Look at that.
If I knew someone at Bama, like, if my brother was the head coach at Bama, my brother over my godson? Well, I would definitely take my godson over my brother these days. But would I, you know, could I relay that information and go ahead and tell him? If Brett Boone was sitting there at, who do the Yankees play next?
Royals?
Yes. Royals.
If I'm the Royals, I don't know if I'm letting Brett Boone show up to my practices this week or come meet with us in the building as he just make one phone call to New York. Smarty.
But here's the thing. He didn't even know she was his brother, her brother, until 2 days ago.
What?
He had no idea, the coach. The coach had no idea these two were related until it was brought to his attention on, like, Tuesday.
Did she disclose it, or did someone else?
I don't know. I don't know how that happened.
If someone else disclosed it, then I could definitely see the coach being like, this should have been brought up.
That's embarrassing for her.
The fact
he doesn't even know who you are.
He doesn't know who you are.
The fact that this wasn't brought, like, I could definitely see at that point the coach going, the fact that this wasn't just voluntarily told to me, that comes off as a little suspicious to me.
I don't know how it took place, how it went down. Ryan Williams. One more thing on Ryan Williams. This guy's awesome. Or is he awesome?
Is he? I don't know.
Which Derek Eagleton texted the other day while we were talking about the Ryan Williams thing, and he said, I'm trying to remember what it was. He said that there was the thing we were talking about that he had said, kill
everybody.
Yeah, he said it's a reference to an old football movie, The Program. That it's something from there. So anyway, that's where it came from, though. Was it?
Great movie.
Just
still can't have it on there.
But that was the reference for when we were trying to figure it out.
All right. So let me think of a movie.
Yeah.
Let me think of a mass murder movie, and I'll put that on the iBlack and say, it's just the movie.
It's not a mass murder movie. It's a football movie.
It doesn't matter.
Boy, remember when that...
You know, it doesn't justify using the iBlack. Like, just don't put it on there.
Remember the controversy with that? They had to cut the part out of the movie where they all laid down in the middle of the road because kids were laying down in the middle of the road. Remember that? They cut that part of the movie out.
I have no idea what movie you're talking about.
The Program.
Oh, I never saw it.
So, Ryan Williams.
That's why I mentioned it, because I never saw it.
Oh, you've got to see
Bobby
it.
Bobby taking
this
position and everything off.
I didn't take a position.
Sound like you're defending Ryan Williams because Derek Eagleton told you to.
I want to be Latimer so bad.
You want to be kept in the draft coverage.
Now they've cleared it out a little.
Ryan Williams obviously made the tremendous catch and then had to kill everybody eye black, but.
You can say everything on air this time.
He changed his profile photo on his Instagram. Now, Alabama beat who?
Georgia.
Georgia is what?
Southern.
What's their mascot?
Bulldogs.
The Bulldogs. Dogs.
Hey, all right, Derek. I want to hear you justify this one. Ready?
He changed his profile photo to Michael Vick holding a dog.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
That was real?
That was, yeah.
Look, if there's one position I want this energy, it's going to be wide receiver.
This is...
Held up Mike Vick with a dog?
Yeah.
All right. I gotta mark this down when I'm interviewing this kid. Like, I gotta... Last night I watched the Aaron Hernandez. That's what I'm doing. That's what I'm doing with the pre-draft evaluation process.
He is definitely ending up on the Chiefs, it sounds like.
Yeah, that's...
Did he change it back? I mean, that had to cause crazy backlash.
Yeah, I'll look up.
And again, y'all, just so you know, in case you didn't hear me the other day, I don't have a problem with the kill everyone. It was a mindset thing.
It's not there anymore.
I don't have a problem with it. I'm just saying, if I'm Alabama PR, I'm saying, don't wear that anymore. That's just me.
Yeah, he doesn't
have
it on
PR.
He does not have it.
Everyone's picking the Steelers to win on ESPN. Orlovsky, Harry Douglas, Jason McCourty, Kimberly Martin, all picking Pittsburgh. By the way, college football kegger right here.
That is your kegger.
105.3 The Fan. Side question for you, as I got an email from the big boss, Brian Purdy. Did you do any recent interview with Barrett Sports Media?
No.
You have not?
No.
All right. Well, they did a little write-up on you.
I saw that.
I did not see this. Have you seen this, Bob?
Mm-mm.
Pepe? RJ Choppy rips ESPN for skipping death of Pete Rose to preview Monday Night Football. And they did a nice job recapping and all that stuff. But what jumped out to me and almost broke me on air in the middle of the segment is this picture where it looks like you did not drink the tequila shot this morning to clear out your stomach. Look at this constipation or whatever they chose. Can we get this on the fan cam? Twitch,
Ryan,
YouTube.
Ryan, we got you.
Yeah, so go ahead.
What is that?
I thought you did a video interview with them. But this is Choppy, if y'all can zoom in at home.
What is the arms, too? Like,
I'm talking.
It looks like you're
It's from
like,
one of his Instagram, tutorial videos
you're
or something.
Totally constipated.
Yeah, I probably was.
Totally constipated right there.
I don't even know where that is. I'm trying to think of where that photo is.
Look at him. He's squatting. You look like you're doing a wall sit.
I know. I really do.
That's the kitchen here. That's our kitchen here, isn't it?
Is it? Oh, yeah. No, there's no microwave behind him, I don't think. That's not the kitchen.
Yeah,
here.
I don't know where that is. Huh. Oh, well. I didn't do an interview with them. They just did that right. I don't know where they got that photo from.
Let's hook you up for turning it on and leaving it on.
All right, Tolos, right now, call our number 10 at 877-881-1053 wins a four-pack of tickets to the Texas State Fair. That's caller number 10 at 877-881-1053.
All right, we have Andrew Filippone, Steelers insider, at 8 o'clock to preview Sunday Night Football. Babe Laufenberg at 8:40. Thank you for being a Tolo. That's why we want you to go ahead and win those tickets. Let's go local with the Neighborhood Watch.
We need to take people out of their bubbles and their safe place and make them think about the world we live in.
You are fake news.
So what do you guys hear? What's the scuttlebutt?
That's right. It is Thursday. It is time for the Neighborhood Watch here on 105.3 The Fan. And before we get to our Facebook community group post of the week, I've got a question that I need to throw out to the Frankel & Frankel Injury Attorneys fan text, 877-881-1053, 877-881-1053, and throw out here in the studio as well. Because I was searching through Reddit yesterday and looking at different DFW pages and looking at news stories. And under Ask DFW, they had thrown out a question that I thought was a good one because I need to start expanding my tastes a little bit and refining my palate a little bit. But the question was,
why do you say that?
Because I'm running out of like places that I confidently feel like, oh, I can get a good meal here tonight, or, oh, I want to go grab food here. It's not consistent. So Ask DFW says, what's the restaurant you could eat at here over and over again and never get tired of? And particularly, what are you ordering there? So what's somewhere around here, not like obviously a chain place, but more just like a hole in the wall that you go to, or somewhere that's more mom and pop, that it's like, that's my spot. I can go get this there every time and I know it's going to be good and I could eat that every day without a problem.
Well, obviously, I'm going to say Hurtado.
Yep.
I got to say Hurtado Barbecue because they have the regular barbecue stuff, and then they have your sandwiches, like your burgers and stuff like that. And I had a Tolo hit me up asking for barbecue recommendations, and I just went ahead and gave him that. So shout out to Kenny Parham, who is coming here from Manhattan for the Lions game. I'm gonna go with a chain place and go separate from Hurtado. Pollo Regio, have you ever heard of it?
I've seen it. I've never gone in there. I've driven by it.
It sounds like chicken something.
Good job, Chop. It is. It's like a grilled. Watch the Tolos. My Hispanic Tolos are gonna go ahead. My Cholos, we call them. They're gonna.
Jesus.
They're gonna go ahead and light up the Fantex and say yes, it's correct. It's grilled chicken. It's like this awesome mesquite grilled chicken. I don't know how they do it. And if you're like a protein chicken person, you go ahead and get this. It's like you're a better rotisserie chicken that you pull apart and you go ahead and eat. So you have that. They have, you know, your other items like tostadas, your baked potato. But if you want to just go get like a nice little lighter fast food type meal, I'll say Pollo Regio if I had to go for a lot of days of the week.
They're blowing it up already and saying, yep, extra green sauce with extra lime.
Green sauce.
Somebody says it's bomb. Somebody else says, yeah, that green sauce is great. Oh, yep. My God.
So, I learned to make the green sauce, too. Very easy. Just look it up, y'all. My wife is addicted to that. Just go ahead and look up the Pollo Regio green sauce. It's like three ingredients.
214 says root or route. Are you a route or a root guy?
Depends on what it is.
Route 67 in Alvarado. Any burger there. Villa Grande, which is Tex-Mex, Pacific Table in Fort Worth or Southlake. I like the
great.
One of the spots I really liked just closed in Flower Mound. I was really upset about it. There's a place called Mad for Chicken that was really, really good, and they just shut down the other day. I was very disappointed in that. So right now it's Enzo's, which I keep trying to get you to try, the pizza place in Flower Mound, which is way better than whatever Philly trash you made me try when I was out there, because Portnoy.
Well, guess what? Bradley Cooper is buying a location of that place that you crapped on in New York.
Great. I mean, I think Diddy has shown us that Hollywood's tastes aren't anything that I would be involved with. Yeah. And so that's fine with me. Also, I was talking about it, Whiskey and Smoke, the barbecue there in Flower Mart. What do you eat, Chop? Where's your spot?
We have not gotten sick of Los Compadres in Roanoke at all. The spicy queso is phenomenal. If I'm going Italian, though, I haven't had it in a while because it's not close to me. But Bellissimo's in Colleyville was tremendous.
Well, you can't eat Italian every day. This is every day.
Every day.
All right, so queso, that's going to be too heavy every day.
It's too heavy every day. Sauce is great, though, but they got like the steak relleno. It's like filet. It's just phenomenal.
Peyton, are you off the phone? Do you have a spot where you like?
Casa Mama in Rockwall, downtown Rockwall is where I go. I'm in there twice a month usually.
And
very good, very good queso. Margaritas are great, frozen or on the rocks.
Ooh.
I get the carne asada every time I go.
Oh, big money spender.
You buy queso now.
Yeah, that's what it is. That payload money must be hitting. All right, our Facebook community group post of the week comes from Flower Mound Cares, my hood over there. And Sean, you're not alone anymore with these water bills. Somebody posts in here.
Thank God, by the way.
How's that going?
The weather has cooled, and I've not had to refill the pool like every 2 days like I had been. Once a week now.
Okay.
Once a week, I'll fill it for like 45 minutes. And my long guy, shout out Ryan, he says, we're about to lower the water to 1 day a week, even though I have 2 of my 3 brand new trees dead. I need a tree hookup. I need a tree hookup very badly because 2 of my trees are sad and pathetic. But I'm about to drop it down to 1 day a week to water, baby. Okay.
Ooh. We're getting insane water bills here in Flower Mound. Over $800, which yours was 6, right?
Yeah, but 80 of that was sewer. So they tacked on $100. But I'm telling you, this is the new racket. There's no way to prove it. I don't know whether they've just jacked it up, inflation, whether Biden's responsible. It was on Kamala's watch, too. that's what Trump would say.
Three and a half years.
You didn't fix my water bill.
You've never been to the border. She's never been to the border.
But I feel like the water bill spike, it's the new thing. I can't wrap my hands around. Make a joke. Small hands.
Can't wrap your hands around water.
Because how do you prove it? What are you going to do?
Yeah, you really got to just travel for a month. Go out of town for a month and see what it is.
And all they do is come out and say, "We checked your meter. How am I going to double check you checking my meter?
Yeah, you got to go out there. You got to go to your bill. You got to look at the date and when they when the billing cycle ended. Go look at your water meter. And then if you can, I don't even know if you can. I think it's now it's just like it's. I don't even think it's got one of those turn thingies anymore, those dials. I think now it's just all electronic. It's garbage.
Theirs was $800 for their water bill. And they said, we're conservative on watering. We have no leaks when I test the meter. See? Anybody else have bills in this range? See? And people were like, yeah, their only suggestion was you call the city out there to like check. But you've got to check when it's $800 because that can't be it.
Whoever the candidate is locally. I think we're getting the big local debate on Tuesday. Whoever last year was Greg Abbott with property tax. Whoever makes water bills the number one agenda on your platform, you have my vote.
Whoever it is.
I'm in. Water bill number one.
And somebody did suggest an app here that I guess you should check out. I can't because I'm not in the house, but Ion Water. They said if you download Ion Water, they said that'll tell you if you have a leak. I don't know how the app works, but it's apparently an app
like
that monitors
Ion
water.
EYE
on water. Okay. So like they keep an eye on your water there. Okay, we're doing the Neighborhood Watch here on 105 Through the Fan. We mentioned a couple weeks ago that Grand Prairie ISD had put their superintendent on leave kind of mysteriously and hadn't said anything about it. Well, after a lengthy closed-door session, the Grand Prairie ISD board voted yesterday to move forward with the separation from Superintendent Dr. Jorge Arredondo. And this was a 4-2 vote that apparently is a violation of a policy that prohibits discrimination and harassment. So this is, I believe, the second superintendent that's gone down in 2 weeks, because didn't Arlington just lose theirs? I think Arlington,
Fort Worth,
it was Fort Worth had voted theirs out.
That was over star testing.
Yeah, because star testing had been lower than Dallas, so they went ahead and voted her out. And so this is 2 superintendents in 2 weeks, really early in the school year.
What a bar, by the way. If your star testing is lower than Dallas, like you just get fired. That's the only barometer you have. One city. That's it?
They're like, if you finish below DISD, you got to go.
That's pretty bad.
Can't have that. We've mentioned a lot lately, I feel like, and this is confirmation of it. There are just a ton of massage parlors around DFW that keep getting shut down for trafficking issues. Another one this week in Denton. And the Texas Department of Licensing and Regulation says that they have now shut down 3 massage parlors in North Texas in 3 weeks for these sort of issues, where they're coming up, they're getting reports of people saying there's some suspicious activity there. They go in, look at it, investigate, and they go, yep, we're shutting you down.
All right, tell me how this gets initiated when you walk in. All right, are you doing it? This always makes me uncomfortable with some of the people that we've traveled with over the years to other cities, and they're like, I got to find a place to get weed. I got to make a drug pickup. And I'm like, are you just going to go?
Don't do that, kids.
And they're always successful, right? They're like, just drop me off. Watch. I'll figure it out. And they always come back with, you know, a dime bag or whatever they call it.
I legitimately doubt here when I was getting gas, somebody tried to sell it to me yesterday.
Really?
Yeah. It, like,
you didn't tell us that on the air?
I forgot about it until just now. I'm standing there, and I just look over at the guy, and he, like, nods. Then he goes, like,
yeah,
you need to smoke on that gas? Like, I was like, no, I'm good.
You need to smoke on that gas?
Yeah, I was like, no, I'm good.
Like, marijuana smokers have this crazy, innate street sense of knowing where to go, how to get it, and I'm just wondering how it works in the massage parlors like this. Are they approaching you? What's the code word? Is it Patriot? Is it craft?
I know.
What do they say?
I know one of these.
And what do you say?
I know one of these a couple weeks ago. It got called in because somebody who was there for a massage said they kept noticing just people were walking in and out through, like, wearing skimpy clothing. And so I guess that's like their signal to you, like, hey, just so you know. Down.
Bring the bikini out.
We do.
Bring the G-string out.
We do this here. Okay, we've been talking about the.
Real quick, according to Quora, which is like the Temu Reddit, I think. If you are completely nude, and like if you don't have, like, some people keep boxers on or whatever, underwear.
Yeah.
If you're completely nude, that's like signal number one.
Oh, if you get the massage.
Yeah. And then if you're undraped, like when they walk in, like if you're just undraped, that's like kind of like your signal saying you're down.
Okay. Okay.
So, I don't know.
Boy, that's
I only get massages from.
From
big,
what?
Big hairy men.
I feel like you're taking a calculated risk there, though. If you're just gonna go like, all right, let's see what happens.
It didn't work for me when I got my massage a couple years ago. So,
what did you do?
I didn't know the rules, and so I just laid there on the bed with my underwear on top of the blanket. They said, "All right, get undressed to comfort," and that's why I did. And she said, "Oh, you got to go underneath the blanket here."
Did you watch Hernandez last night?
No, I did not.
Anyone?
I haven't watched it yet. I'm going to watch it today. That's
there was movement
on your part.
No, Hernandez, jackass.
That's the test.
All right, we've been talking about Peyton is going to the state fair coming up. We're all going to make our trips out to the state fair. The Fort Worth Star-Telegram has their thrifty deals and discounts. This is like your guide to operate the state fair in the cheapest way possible. It's one of the things they point to. Thrifty Thursday. So the fair has special food pricing on Thursdays this year, which will be October 3rd, 10th, and 17th. Participating food vendors will offer discounted prices on menu items, whether that be regular size items or mini versions. You can find a full list of participating vendors at the State Fair website at bigtex.com. They've also got deals for military discounts. Fair offers $5 discounts for military members and first responders who show identification. And every day the fair has deals every day of the week on admission. After 5 p.m., all adults pay child ticket prices. And Monday through Thursday, it's a $15 cost, $10 after 5 p.m. Fridays is $20, $15 after 5, and Saturday, Sunday, $25. You can pay $18 after 5 p.m. So if you want to go for cheaper, 5 p.m. is the time.
Neighborhood Watch every Thursday during the commercial-free expressway with Bobby Roberto Belt here on Sean and RJ. Out to Pittsburgh with one of the best Steelers insiders in the business. Let's preview Sunday night. And are they trying to get Devontae Adams for Justin Fields or Russell Wilson? Andrew Filippone from Pittsburgh next on Sean and RJ. But let's go ahead and talk about BetterHelp. Sean and RJ is sponsored by BetterHelp. H-E-L-P. October is the season for wearing masks and costumes, but some of us feel like we wear a mask and hide more often than we need to at work, in social meetings, around our family. You just don't feel comfortable in that company group party, and you're more happy actually putting on a mask because you don't have to necessarily be yourself. Maybe it's time for some better help. Therapy can help you learn to accept all parts of yourself so you can take off that mask, because masks should be worn for Halloween fun, not for your everyday life and those emotions. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. So take off the mask with BetterHelp and get 10% off your first month while doing it by using the special Tolo Morning Show code. BetterHelp.com/Sean and RJ for 10% off. That's BetterHelp.com/SHANandRJ.